Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Judgments. We welcome anyone to come, and any background, any situation, any troubled life, wherever you're from, any socioeconomic background, we believe Jesus can set you free. But you first need to get people in here to hear the word and experience his love and his power. Amen? So people are welcome. You cannot clean fish before you catch them. Hallelujah. So welcome. If this is your first time, welcome. And if you're first time hearing the gospel, we pray God touches your life and that your heart and your mind is open to receive. We're going to continue on with our third lesson on the Holy Spirit. It's not normally a series I do on Sunday morning, but God really directed me to do that. And I, really, in order to understand, listen to the first two, Holy Spirit 1 and Holy Spirit 2 on our website. They're all free. You can go on there and download them, iTunes and Stitcher, and they're all different locations where you can listen to the messages. But what we have to understand is the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is on this earth, to point to Jesus. And you heard me pray in my prayer language this morning, and my goal is to just get past the whole, oh my gosh, he's speaking in tongues, you know? It's like, it is so biblical and so much written about it in the New Testament. To avoid it is to like rip out, you know, massive parts of the Bible. So let's get past the weirdness of it, because it should be really a normal, everyday part of our lives and really to our benefit. So say this after me. My mind is open. My heart is open to hear the word, to receive the word, to be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. This will help your walk with Christ. I believe that the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the door to another level of spiritual growth and spiritual experiences and power. It is a door that opens us up to begin to experience 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which lists what we call the nine gifts of the Spirit. Nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, some will come up and quote, and none of you guys, but some will argue many times that, what about the scripture in 1 Corinthians where it says that this will pass away? That someday this will pass away. Well, what we need to understand was the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about the love of God. And it really gives us a great definition of the love of God, many times read during weddings and. But the revelation of the love of God is so important, because the gifts of the Spirit operate in us because of our love and compassion for people to help them. When the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit become something like toys that we play with, and many times Christians can become arrogant about them, God is eventually going to stop using you in that realm of the gifts of the Spirit. Because the Bible talks about that it's as he wills. It's not something that we have in own. It's as God wills. He uses us and flows through us in this spiritual realm. Amen? Some people say, well, you know, I operate in the word of knowledge. Or they'll say, I have the gift of the word of knowledge. No, you don't. You don't have that gift. It's severally as the Lord wills. He operates through you in that gift as he wills, not as we will. Amen? So the church needs to stop avoiding these chapters in the Bible. And like I said, some have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have become arrogant and exclusive, calling themselves, you know, a spirit-filled church, and we're the Pentecostal holiness something, something, something. And they become arrogant, looking down on other churches that don't teach or partake in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not, look what I can do. Or it's not like, look what I can, look what I drive, or look where I live. What it is look what Christ has done in me. And look what Christ can do through me. Why? Because God wants our heart to break for a lost and dying world. You remember when you first got saved, you just realized that heaven was a free gift, and if I don't tell everyone, they're all going to go to hell. If I don't tell my family, they're all going to go to hell. And you remember how passionate you were when you first got saved and how bold you were? I mean, I purposed to tell all my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad. And every day I woke up and I prayed, God, give me an opportunity to share with them the gospel, because I want them to be in heaven. Even though they went to church every Sunday, the Bible was never taught, really. It was read, but it was never taught. And I can remember God giving me opportunities one-on-one to speak to my mom, sitting in the car with my dad, talking to my brother and his Jewish wife alone in our living room, getting alone with my sister Debbie and sharing the gospel and actually leading her to Christ, and also my sister Ellen, leading her to Christ, and later on leading her to be filled with the Spirit, where she eventually went to the Bible school that we went to and is married to a wonderful Christian guy. So remember that time of passion. Remember that time of urgency where the power of God was flowing through you, the anointing was on you, and you just had a heart's cry for the world and for people. It's time to get that back for some of us. Praise God for those of you who are still on fire, but it's time to restir that inside of us. Time to restir that gift of evangelism. Hallelujah. It's time for our heart again to break for a dying and lost world. Because that lost world needs the love and the power of Jesus to save them and set them free. But many times we become self-absorbed and not others-minded. And that's when, where God used to use you in the gifts of the Spirit and work through you, that's when the gifts stop. That's when they cease. Why? Because eventually the voice of self and the voice of flesh speaks louder than the voice of the Spirit, who used to be the dominant voice in you. We can't hear his voice anymore because self is too loud. The power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit were given to us to reach the world, to prove to the world that he is still alive. And he's still using people. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1 says, Jesus said, wait here and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason is that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is why we have these gifts. Through the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, we can show the world that Jesus is still alive, the same yesterday, today, and forever, still actively involved on this earth by the power of the Holy Spirit, healing, setting free, saving people, fixing marriages, fixing lives, fixing finances. Hallelujah. Actively involved in our lives every single day if we allow him. If we allow him. So you will be my witnesses in Gresham, in Oregon, in the Northwest, and to the uttermost parts of this world. But it has to start here. It's got to start in your neighborhood. Well, I want to be a missionary. Well, what about your neighbors that live next to you or down the street? What about your family? Well, I want to go on a mission trip. Well, what about your mom that has never heard the gospel before and you've never prayed, God, give me a time with her where I can share. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the door and the entrance to the power of God and to the gifts of the Spirit. And to go to that next level to live a greater spiritual life. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the King James Version. A lot of times we put NIV up there, but there's just some versions like King James that say passage of Scripture way better. So King James Version, 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll start in verse 1. Start in verse 1. Says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Somebody say spiritual gifts. All right, here we go. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." I love that. That means God doesn't want us to be ignorant about these things. We need to study these things. We need to know about them. The preachers need to preach about them. We need to study them in Bible studies. God doesn't want us to be ignorant, doesn't want us to be stupid about these things, you know, or ignore them. He says, "Ye know," I love that, "ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Don't you love Paul? Carried away to these dumb, wasting your time with dumb things. He said, "Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So three things: gifts, administrations, and operations. It's interesting. Different gifts for different seasons. Different gifts operate through different people. Different gifts needed for different situations. Mostly all having to do with ministry opportunities. There's different administrations, how we administer these gifts. Different ways. If we had a tongue and an interpretation in church, it might be different if it was, you know, an individual, a one-on-one, or in a family situation. Different administrations, different gifts, and different operations. What I love about this is that God doesn't put himself in a box. You know, many times what happens with the gifts of the Spirit, once we become knowledgeable about them and desire them, because the Bible definitely talks about us desiring them, they will begin to work in your life. Many times the gifts of the Spirit will work in your life and you don't even know. You know? And later on, the Holy Spirit will remind you, "Do you remember when you were talking to so-and-so? When you said this in that conversation and the person you were with began to cry?" You know? And you were ministering to their heart, and a gift of the Spirit was in operation. See, many times outside the four walls of the church, the gifts of the Spirit should be more natural than supernatural. They should be an everyday part of our lives. We should want to live a supernatural life. We should desire that. Because the natural life, it can get boring. It can get old. It can get, mundane. But a supernatural life is an exciting, fun life. When you wake up in the morning and say, "God, use me. God, speak through me today. Lord, give me an opportunity to invite so-and-so for lunch and perhaps open up the door for me to share the gospel with them." Hallelujah. Invite them to church. Invite them. If you find somebody that doesn't want to come to a church, an event like last night is a great way to get them in the doors. Amen? And so, gifts, administrations, and operations. In verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Everybody say profit. Say profitable. So that means that these gifts are profitable. They're going to help you. They're going to add to you. And I don't know about you, but when I invest in something, I like profit. Does anybody like profit? When I sell my house, I like to make a profit, right? When I buy something off of Craigslist and resell it, I want to make a profit. Are you guys out there? There's nothing wrong with making a profit. I mean, unless God tells you to give it away. But God wants us to make a profit. I like making a profit. Anybody out there like that? I like getting good deals. Anybody like getting good deals? Just come see me if you need something. I am a Craigslist expert, okay? We buy everything off there. I've driven more time to Tigard and Beaverton because that's where all the good stuff is. You ever notice that? That's where all the good stuff. That's why I have a truck. I mean, I wouldn't want you to look at it because it's really bad. But I'm telling you, that truck with that canopy has picked up a lot of good deals. And God will lead you into good deals. God will lead you to profit. For to one is given the Spirit. Here we go with the nine gifts. The Spirit of the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Or we would call that special faith. To another, the gifts of healings. Notice the S. By the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers or different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, capital H, wills. So, here's God's will. God wants us to use the gifts of the Spirit. He's given us these tools and this ammunition to move to a higher level in our spiritual walk and to be more effective in reaching people. It's as he wills, but it also teaches us here that we're supposed to desire them. Desire them. Because God is a gentleman. He will never force you into anything. He will never force you to do anything. God works through us when we have a hunger for him, when we ask him and we desire that he use us. God, when you wake up in the morning, God, use me today. When you wake up in the morning, God, I am open to jump out of the box today. I'm open for whatever you have me to say, however you want me to love someone today, however you want me to give of myself or of my finances to someone. Lord, use me today to be a blessing to someone. Amen? Use me today to reach out to someone. Awesome. So, 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit us all. It profits us all. When a tongue and interpretation is given in a church setting or a Bible setting or a public setting, it's something that is supposed to encourage, to build up, and it's profitable for the whole body. Builds us up. It encourages us. Hallelujah. Now, as I said, the believer, us, we don't own the gifts. It's as the Spirit wills. Yet, we have to desire them. It is profitable. So I'm just going to categorize up on the screen for you the nine gifts of the Spirit. We traditionally would take these nine gifts and we'll split them up into three different sections. The first would be this, the revelation gifts. These are gifts that reveal something if you're taking notes. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. The second would be the power gifts, gifts that do something. The gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And then lastly, but not least, is the inspirational gifts. These are gifts that say something. Prophecy, divers or different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Everyone say nine gifts. I believe that in 1 Corinthians that the gifts were given in order of importance, from top to bottom. The prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues are the least gifts. Yet all of us could operate in those gifts, given in order of importance. The problem with the church a lot of times is in the revivals of the 90s, people were being filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. And they were speaking in tongues in Catholic churches and Lutheran churches. The charismatic renewal was just booming. Even in Germany, where I was from, in Massachusetts, there was charismatic groups in every church. And it was like a new toy. Everyone was like, ooh, you know, hi guys, speak in tongues, woo. And people didn't understand. So that gift became elevated over the other gifts when the Bible talks about how that's some of the least gifts. Okay, the others actually are more important. mainly the revelation gifts. That's what we're going to focus on this morning, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. So I'm going to talk about those three this morning and teach on those three this morning. And then next week we'll finish up on the series and talk about the rest. Let's talk about the revelation gifts. Everything within the realm of knowledge, whether facts, events, purposes, motives, origins, or destinies, fit into the revelation gifts, whether human, divine, or satanic, natural or supernatural, or past, present, or future, comes within the focal range of one or more of these three revelation gifts. That's long, I know. But let me explain it to you, okay? First of all, let's focus on the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge. Anybody taking notes this morning? Hallelujah. The word of knowledge is not natural knowledge. Just because you have a degree doesn't mean you have the gift of the word of knowledge. These are supernatural gifts, okay? God, the Bible says, gives us in part and we know in part. Many times God gives us, God gives us a word. Or he'll give us a sentence. Something supernaturally that you know that God is speaking to you on the inside concerning your situation or someone else's to bless them and to help them and to set them free. It's always going to be about encouraging. It's always going to be about good. It's always going to be positive, uplifting, to help them to be free of whatever they're dealing with. It's going to be a blessing. Now, maybe some of us have come from different churches, and we heard the hellfire and brimstone prophecy come in the church from the pastor or somebody. You're all going to go to hell if you don't repent, thus saith the Lord. And, you know, it just made you feel like the lowest of the lowest. And that day you brought a visitor, you know, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's like, why did I bring him this Sunday? Because here goes Sister So-and-so with her doomsday prophecy. That's not New Testament prophecy. Amen? It should always be encouraging, uplifting, and edifying. Encouraging, uplifting, and edifying. Supernatural revelation comes to us in the way of the word of knowledge about certain facts in the mind of God. The word of knowledge gives us the revelation of facts that are now or have been in the past. So God will give you facts of something that's happening now or in the past. God reveals something in the present or the past with the gifts of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge to bring freedom. It's always about freedom. So the word of knowledge, always present tense or concerning something that has happened in the past. Let me give you some biblical examples, because literally you can go through the whole gospel and you can categorize all of the miracles and all the supernatural things that Jesus did in the categories of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And you can go through the Old Testament and categorize all of the supernatural things that happened with the prophets within the nine gifts of the Spirit. Today, because of the New Testament, we have greater revelation because of guys like Paul, amen, guys like John, guys like Mark. We live with greater revelation today because the Bible is a progressive revelation. We understand more about God today in the New Covenant than they did in the Old Covenant because of Jesus coming to the earth. Not that we're adding to the Word, but where we get revelation from the Word. It all needs to be based on the Word of God. So, Paul is a great teacher. Paul is a great minister. He heard from God. God downloaded, you know, almost a third or half of the New Testament, downloaded the New Testament into Paul. Paul wrote it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God is an organized God, and he gave us nine gifts of the Spirit to categorize all of the different supernatural happenings that not only happened in the past in the Bible, but that can happen in your life in the future. Hallelujah. Remember, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to have knowledge about these things. He wants us to come to an understanding of these things. Because knowing about it brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So today, this may be the first time you've heard any lesson like this in church. We're building your faith. If it's something new, you should be like, wow, never heard this before. This is cool. I'm open to receive, God. Give me everything that you have. I'd be crazy to not receive everything that God has given me freely. Amen? Obviously, we're all on different levels. There are no judgments. Amen? There's no condemnation at all. But my prayer is that today you see something different. My prayer is that you open up your mind and say, okay, God, I'm ready to listen, ready to hear. I want more of you. I hunger and thirst for more of you. John chapter 4, you don't need to turn there because we're going to go through this rather quickly. But you guys remember the story of the woman at the well. Remember that? In the story of the woman at the well, Jesus is there. He meets the woman. He asks her for a drink. And then Jesus begins a conversation with this woman. And this woman, Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come back. And in verse 17, she says, I have no husband, she replied. Well, Jesus said to her, you're right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you've had five husbands, and the man that you now have is not your husband. And she says, yeah, what you've just said is quite true. Interesting. Now, you would think to yourself, well, Jesus is God, and God and Jesus knew everything. Not true. Jesus did not know everything. He limited himself as a man operating on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit, where when he was filled with the Holy Spirit by his cousin John at his baptism. The Bible also says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus literally discovered who he was from a baby to the time of his ministry by reading and studying the Word of God. He discovered who he was and what he was called to do by reading the Word of God and having the Word read to him. Jesus did not operate as God on the earth. He did not know everything, and he could not do everything. Literally, in his own hometown, he went there, and it says he could not do but only a few things and heal a few people because of their unbelief. Could not. Not would not. That levels the playing field. Why did Jesus do that? Why was this plan of God so amazing? So that Jesus and our Heavenly Father would prove to us that the same things that Jesus did, we can do, because the same Holy Spirit that lived in Christ and came upon Christ comes upon us as believers in the faith. Jesus said, even greater things will you do because I'm gone to be with the Father and you're going to be here doing greater things. Greater things. If you think about all the different miracles and all the different supernatural things that happened through Jesus and in Jesus' ministry, he said that we as believers would actually go further and do more. That is a mind blower. I haven't even, you know, touched the surface at all. My prayer for myself and for you is that we as a church desire greater things. You got to want it. It's got to be taught. It's got to be talked about. So Jesus wasn't here as God speaking to this woman. He was there as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him and revealed to him with what we call a word of knowledge about her current situation and her past, and it ministered to her. What was the result? The woman said, you must be a prophet. The woman recognized Jesus as a prophet. The woman recognized Jesus as something special and then invited Jesus down to her town, and literally, Jesus wasn't even called to the Jews, but he took a few days out. He was only called to the Jews. He took a few days out to minister to the Gentiles. Paul was the one who brought the message to the Gentiles. He was the one called to do that. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see that his ministry was mainly a ministry to non-Jewish people. Jesus came specifically to start the fire amongst the Jews, but realizing that God is no respecter of persons, Jesus took a few days out to go down to Samaria. Samaritans were half Jewish and half other, which was frowned upon. So here's Jesus going down to Samaria where half Jews live. The disciples are not happy about it, nor was anybody else that he knew, because they had a prejudice against those people. So here's Jesus loving on these people, ministering to these people, praying for these people, and teaching these people alone for a number of days. The result of the gift of the Spirit was this. It opened up doors of ministry, not condemnation to the woman at the well, to realize that what you've gone through in your life, the multiple failed marriages that you've had, and the situation that you're in doesn't need to stay that way, that I have come to set you free. I have come to give you life. I have come to make you whole relationally so the next marriage that you have will be your last marriage. Hallelujah. Because it's going to be done by the power of God and in the covenant of the Holy Spirit and last till the day you die. That's wonderful. This is what the gifts of the Spirit do. They open up doors of ministry for us to speak into people's lives and to bring freedom to them. Beautiful. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are so important. Somebody say, God, use me. Come on, somebody say, God, use me. Hallelujah. Say, no judgments. Last example, Ananias and Sapphira. You know, you better be careful when you lie to God, right? If you look at Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, what was happening back then? After Jesus had risen from the dead, the believers were living together. And they were selling their homes and taking the profit from their homes and placing it in the hands of Peter and John and the disciples to take care of. And they would take that money, and literally that money was the church budget to fund the preaching of the gospel. God doesn't require us to sell our homes and do that today. It's 10% plus offering, basically, to help fund the building of his church and the preaching of the gospel. But that's what was happening back then. Generosity was flowing. Things were happening, and people were literally selling their homes and giving all of their profit to them to distribute as they saw fit, to feed the poor, to fund the ministry, to feed the ministry families, because you got hundreds of people now that are one to Christ. After that, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and the movement was continuing. So, thank you. Sorry, I'm dry. A lot of talking. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they sell their house. They made probably a pretty good profit. And between themselves, they come up with this plan. Let's go talk to Peter, and let's go tell him we're going to give him all of the profit from our house, which they weren't required to do. So they go in, they set aside, and they pocket some money for themselves. And they go in and they bring their profit and they say, here is all of the profit from our house to put into the fund to help fund the gospel and to help provide for the saints. Bad deal. I believe Ananias and Sapphira went in and said, we're going to give you 50% of our profits because we have 50% that we need to deal with, and they didn't lie, they wouldn't have ended up in the situation that they were in. But because they lied, look what happened. Then Peter said to him, Peter didn't know. This is a great parental illustration. Can you guys say amen? Because God wants you to supernaturally parent. I say, Lord, thank you that by the word of knowledge that you tell me when my kids are lying. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, because I want to not just parent naturally, I want to parent supernaturally. And it's happened many times. When you start operating in this gift, and what happens, it gets to the point where your kids know, man, I know I can't lie to you because God tells you everything. It works with grandchildren too. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So here's what Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart and that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? And you know what happened? Ananias comes in. He immediately drops dead in church. Thank God we haven't had many of those services here. Amen. His wife comes in. They ask her the same question. She's in cahoots with her husband. She tells the same lie, and she drops dead in church too. So the first bridge event that they had was digging graves together out in the community. Hallelujah. Thank God for trunk or treats. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One more. You guys, one more? All right, one more. Acts chapter 9. We talked about this last week, where Ananias is in town, and Paul has just been thrown off his horse. The Lord appears to him with a great light. Now, can you imagine how bright that light might have been to throw Paul off the horse? It was like this huge light and blinds him, and they take him into the town, and God speaks to Ananias. Ananias, here's the cool thing about Ananias. Ananias isn't one of the disciples. He's just a believer. The gifts of the Spirit aren't just for pastors, evangelists, and prophets, and the fivefold ministry gifts. The gifts are for everyone. They're for the believer. They're for you to live supernatural lives. So Ananias, God tells him to go to Straight Street, and you'll meet a man named Paul, and you'll lay your hands on him, and he will receive his sight. Ananias is like, Paul was called Saul eventually. Saul, you mean Saul the Pharisee? You mean Saul the one who's been killing all the Christians, and the reason why we're here today is because we fled Jerusalem? You mean that Saul is coming here, and you want me to go to him? Uh-huh. How many know God needed to pick somebody bold? Because even though you get a word from the Lord, doesn't mean you always follow through with it. Hello. There's many things God told me to do, I'm sure you as well, where you didn't do, and you're like, miss God on that one. The great thing about God is he'll give you another word. Just keep going. If you miss it, keep going. God forgives. But don't stop trying and believing. Don't stop wanting and don't stop desiring. Just because you made a mistake, so be it. God forgives you. Move on. As long as you're still open, okay, God, forgive me for that. I missed that. But Lord, please don't bypass me over. Please continue to use me. I want to know your voice. Please speak to me. So Ananias eventually goes to the house where Paul was. He receives his sight. Not only did he receive his sight when he laid his hands on him, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God used Ananias, a believer, to fill Paul with the Holy Spirit. And we know Paul spoke in tongues. So I'm sure that day Paul was speaking in tongues, because it says, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. A believer was used. God spoke to a believer to minister in that situation. Hallelujah. Awesome. Let's talk about the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is this. The word of wisdom gives us revelations of the plans and the purposes in the mind of God. The word of wisdom and knowledge a lot of times are used together. Used together. And they work together. All these gifts seem to gel together. And many times God will use you in something supernatural. And many times different gifts will work together supernaturally. So it's not just one or the other. Remember, there's different kinds of operations and there's different kinds of giftings. You know, all those things work together for God's good. Hallelujah. And so if you look at Ananias again, what happened there as he went to Paul, there was definitely a combination of a supernatural revelation of the present and the future. Here is the situation now. Paul is here. Here is what I need you to do in the future. I need you to leave here, and I need you to go to this place where he is. And when you go there, specific instructions, I want you to do this. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge working together supernaturally to bring out an amazing outcome. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at one more, and we'll quickly go through this. Maybe a little longer today, but it's raining outside. You can't go out and play anyway. So it says, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip. You remember the story of Philip? Philip was an evangelist. He said, go south on the road, the desert road, that comes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Many times the gifts of the Spirit will come through dreams and visions. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom can come through a dream or a vision. Amen? And this is what happened. An angel appeared. How many know angels are still active on the earth today? We all have a specific guardian angel, I believe, that protects us. But angels were sent to us to minister to those who are heirs of salvation, the Bible says. They're here to minister to us and protect us. And they will, from time to time, although we do not seek angelic visitation, because the devil will accommodate you. We don't ask for angels to appear to us, or even Jesus can appear and has appeared on this earth to individuals and believers and ministers. But we don't ask God for those because the devil will manifest himself and deceive us. Yet when it happens, praise God. So look what happens. The angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord, by the way? Jesus. It's Jesus. The angel of the Lord said, go to the south, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, whatever that is, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So what happened? Philip led him to Christ. They found some water right by where God had led him to, and he got the Ethiopian eunuch got baptized. Here's what God will do for you. He will send you to important key people that will then go from you after you've ministered to them, led them to Christ, helped them to get free, to go minister the gospel to many other people. Our prayer, God, send me to influential people. We'll never know when we witness and when we share the gospel with people, we'll never know what the outcome of that will be until we get to heaven. Of how many people were led to Christ. That person might have left there, got filled with the Spirit, went to Bible school, and is now a pastor of a church in Arizona, or a missionary somewhere in South America. And when you get to heaven, you get rewards for being obedient to listen to the Spirit and to follow through because of their lives and what they've done and the people that they've sent, the people they've led to Christ. There's benefits. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Now the last one and final as we leave today is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits gives us supernatural insight into the spiritual world. To discern means to perceive, see, or learn. This is not the word discernment. There's no gift in the Bible of discernment. Although, as we study God's word and we grow wise, we become discerning, but that's not a special gift. The discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit realm, whether that be angels, demons, or Jesus himself. I've had dreams of demons attacking me, and I've had to use the word in the middle of that dream to fight those demons off. Anybody else have dreams? Has anybody ever had an angel or a demon appear to them or you saw them? Anybody? Just raise your hand up. Awesome. Maybe not awesome. But what happens is this. If the demon appears to you, get this book and recognize your authority of who you are in Christ and the power that you've been given to trample on scorpions and serpents. And the Bible literally says you've been given all power over the enemy. All power. When somebody said about this building, you guys are buying the Mason building. You need to have some kind of an exorcism. We need to go in there and cast the devil. And we need to anoint the doorpost with oil in that building because of the demonic activity that took place in there. I told them, no, I don't. I said, all I need to do is walk in. I'm a son of the Most High. The demons are afraid of me. If there's any demons taking up roost in here, they need to go. Don't allow the demons to torment you. The whole idea that somehow houses are haunted is ludicrous. It's ridiculous. Stupidity. To cross fear. Sell your house because there's a demon living in there. Are you kidding me? Demons got to go. Or sell your house because the person who died there is still there. Their spirit is there. No, their spirit isn't there. Their spirit's either in heaven or hell. But the Bible will manifest himself as the demons will manifest himself as a familiar spirit pretending to be people. That's why if you go to have a seance, the demon will manifest himself pretending to be people, even the voice of the person that died, thinking that somehow you're communicating to them directly and you're not. It's deceiving. And what happens when you get involved in those things is you are opening yourself up to a demon devil world that could cause damage in your life. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. The Bible says resist the devil. First of all, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yet if you forget the first part, submit to God, when you resist the devil, he will not flee from you. My submission to God is this: I love you. Your word is first place in my life. I worship you. And I am involved in a church that you died for, City Park Church. God, I am doing your will because your will upon this earth is the local church. That submission gives you the power. Does that mean people don't have power if they don't go to church? Not as much as you. I said, not as much as you. Hallelujah. Many people's lives have been ruined that are Christians that are not involved in a local church because they don't have as much power. Your submission to God gives you the authority and the power to resist every demon in hell and Satan himself and tell him where to go. This book will transform your life. Can't talk a lot about it because of time. Look at this picture here. This is the culture that I believe we're trying to create and have here at City Park Church. This picture says this: I'd rather move forward and make mistakes than to be perfect and stand still. Try it, you'll like it. What are the gifts of the Spirit? First of all, desire them. Ask God to use you in that way. And begin to believe God to flow in the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. If a thought arises in your mind, and it's also predominantly in your heart, it's something stirring inside of you, and you have an encouraging word for someone, or God's revealed something to you, and you don't know whether it's God or the pizza you ate the night before, you know what? What you do is you go up to someone and say, you know what? I think that God's talking to me. I may be wrong, so if I'm wrong, just put it on the shelf. Maybe it's for the future, or maybe it's for later, but this is what God is speaking to me about your situation. And if that person says, you know what? How do you know that? You're right. That'll make you feel really good, right? Like you heard from God. Because hearing from God is exciting. It's like, wow, I just heard from God. I just ministered to somebody. I helped them. But if they say, you know what? Just humble yourself and say, you know, I may be wrong. It's cool. I may have missed it. Just because you miss it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. Amen? Because if you don't try to get up on the bike when you were a kid, you'll never learn how to ride that two-wheeler. You have to get on the bike. You can't just want to ride the bike. You got to get on it, and you got to try it, and you got to allow your father to get behind you and push you. Amen? Hallelujah? Try it. Try it. You'll like it. Hallelujah. What happens is this. As we close here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit destroys the gift, quote unquote, of discerning faults in others. Because that's what a lot of people think discernment is, which is nothing more than criticism. And what it does, it replaces it with the sweet gift of gentle forbearance. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. John, in his vision, remember on the island of Patmos? I went on a sailing trip in Greece, and I didn't get to go to Patmos, but I think my brother-in-law did this time. They went to Patmos where John was. John, on the vision of Patmos, what happened? He saw the Holy Spirit as seven spirits before the throne of God. So through the gift of discerning of spirits, his mind's eyes were open to what heaven looks like. And through that, God downloaded the book of Revelation to him. And through that book, we have a great amount of revelation of who God is and God's thoughts about the church and how church should be and church should run. Great wisdom and great revelation. But John, in his last days on the island of Patmos, Greece, heaven opened up and God allowed him to see the seven spirits in heaven at the throne of God. You could go to so many more different things. The angel appeared to Mary and announced the birth of Jesus. The angel, discerning of spirits, appeared to Joseph, right? What else? Got my list here. During the birth of Jesus, what happened to the shepherds? The heavens were open. They saw the angels singing, praising God. Hosanna to God in the highest. They saw angels. Just because the book of Acts was only in a 20-year period, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever, lives on. He is the same. And these gifts are needed more today than they were even needed back then. Because we are in the end times and the end days, God wants to use us supernaturally in these gifts. The world mocks these gifts. You can go down to the Saturday market in Portland and you can get your palm read and they'll pretend to show you your future, but many times those individuals are operating by familiar spirits, demon familiar spirits. Don't go there. Unless you get an unction from God to go in and cast the devil out of her. But don't go without the unction in the anointing. Stay away from. Do you ever notice that whatever is real, the devil always has a counterfeit? There's always a counterfeit. The supernatural realm and the supernatural life is real. And it's more natural to be supernatural than natural. Because literally when the gifts of the Spirit aren't at work in us, we can always be assured that according to Romans chapter 8 and 14, that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So you can literally be led by your spirit and by your heart every day of your life. My confession is that I am a child of God. I am a son of God, and God's Spirit lives in me, and I am led by Him every day. I am led by Him every day. I'm not led by guilt and condemnation and fear. I want to take risk. Hallelujah. And in God's culture and in our culture, try it. You'll like it. Hallelujah. Genuinely, that desire is this. God, forgive me for being critical. Forgive me for being judgmental. Help me to love people like you love people. Help me to see people like you see people. Because, Lord, I have a heart to help people. I have a heart to love people. I have a heart to see people saved, filled, and set free. Amen? I know we went long today, but let's all stand up.